Well, it's good to be back with you today. It's been a while. It seems like every 2 or 3 months here for the past several, I've gotten to be here, and so it's good, and it's great that Pastor Andy is able to be away from the Midwest and down where it's a little bit warmer. I know that they're working hard. I know that they are absolutely doing that. I've been to Haiti a couple of times, and so I know what that feels like. You're just right in the middle of everything, and it's an incredible blessing, a growth opportunity, and so I'm just so glad that they had the opportunity to do that. I would say that unless you've been living on a remote island somewhere, you probably recognize the fact that there's a lot of stuff going on in our world right now, right? I mean, we're just kind of getting into the real heat of the political campaigns, the presidential election stuff coming up. We had the Iowa caucuses. We've got the New Hampshire primaries that are coming up this week, and then things really start rolling. And I don't know about you, I'm looking at things going, wow, you know, what am I to think about all of this? I look at just kind of the general state of our country, the moral stuff that's going on. I look at the school shootings. I look at the terrorist attacks, and I really wonder sometimes, man, what is happening in our world? And I wake up some mornings and I flip on the news, and there's this little part of me that really quick wants to just go and really move to one of those remote islands, just to liquidate everything and to get out of here and just be somewhere else away from all of this. But then I recognize and I realize that, you know, as a believer, as a Christ follower, that's not really what I'm called to do. I have a different calling. So how should we as Christians approach what's going on in our world? What should our perspective be? What should our mindset be? And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about living as sent people. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and kind of what was going on at this point in time is that the Israelites, God's people, were finding themselves in a very unfamiliar and a very, very uncomfortable situation. You see, for a long time, the people of Israel had been rebelling against God. And so now they found themselves in a place where a lot of their leaders, where a lot of the top tiers of their society were living now in exile. They were living in Babylon. And there in the land of Israel, there arose a small group of people. They proclaimed themselves as prophets, who had a certain mindset, had a certain perspective on how they should view this exile. They kind of were proponents of maybe a hunker down mentality. That mentality that says, okay, we're going to move to a remote island. They were saying to the people of Israel, you've got to remember who you are. You're God's people. Surely God is going to come and he's going to deliver you just any day now. So now just keep your heads down and just endure. Just get by. Try to escape all of this stuff. You ever feel like that when faced with the news? You ever feel like that when facing what's going on in our world? Like you just want to, you know, keep your head down and endure until Jesus comes again. But I think God wants us to see things in a different way. He sent a word to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah that I think can help us to see exactly what it is that he wants us to be doing. We're going to look at some verses in Jeremiah chapter 29. I think you probably are familiar with at least some of these verses, maybe one of these verses you're really familiar with, but we want to get this all in context and take a look at the things that God wants us to see here. So we are in Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 4. And this is what we read. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So God sends this message, and he says the hunker down mentality, the just endure till it's over mentality, is not what I want you to have. I want you to know that yes, you're going to go, but I want you to know that there's a purpose behind all of this. I want to take just a few minutes to look at three different ideas that we see in this passage, and they all revolve around the idea that wherever it is that we're going, God has prepared us. He wants us to know that we are going. That's not an option. We are going to be going. Here's the first point I want you to see. Wherever we go, we are sent. In other words, wherever we go, we're not there by accident. Now that's for those of us who are following Jesus. There are times when people find themselves in situations that they, didn't want to be in. But for those of us who are in Christ, we need to understand that we're going to find ourselves in places in our lives, and we may not recognize immediately what the purpose is, but we have to recognize that God has a purpose for us there. I'm talking about, the time and the place and the situations that we find ourselves in. And we understand that God has prepared us for those times and places, that through his providence that he has brought us through life experiences and education and jobs, through spiritual experiences, he has prepared us for where he wants us to be. And he has a purpose for us. I want to go back and look at a couple of verses, beginning in verse 4. Which kind of sets the tone here. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. See, we read there right at the very beginning that the Israelites going into exile wasn't by accident. God said, these people whom I have sent into exile, he sent them there for a purpose. The primary purpose, I think, was to accomplish their redemption. Because they had been in open rebellion against God, and he didn't just wipe them out. He wanted to bring them back. He wanted to redeem them. But there was another purpose, and it was the redemption of the nations. It was the redemption of the city where they were living. They were people in exile on purpose. We see that kind of thing over even into the New Testament. And the letter 1 Peter, we see there that Peter addresses a group of people. He recognizes that they were exiles, that they were foreigners. And by extrapolation, we can begin to see that we are exiles. We are just like that. We're dispersed among the nations for a purpose. Now, Jeremiah came back and he was warning the people in exile about all those people that said, no, don't see it that way. Just hole up in your house. This is just a speed bump. Just huddle together inside of your buildings and everything is going to be back to normal soon. The problem was the people of Israel, God's people, had forgotten what normal was supposed to be. They'd forgotten that their real home was not in a geographical location, but their real home was always to be with God. And through a lot of their history, they'd been aliens. They'd been strangers. They'd been pilgrims who were free to follow God's glory wherever it went. And now they had gotten used to being planted and letting everybody come to them. But God wants his people, that includes us, to lean into the fact that we are sent, to lean into our exile, if you will, and not run away from it. It means a couple of things for us. As much as we want to, we don't rebel against the authorities in power. God placed them where they are for a time. We may not agree with everything that they do, but we don't openly rebel against them. The prime thing is that we need to understand is that we need to live in such a way, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's the conversations we have over coffee, the things we talk about at work, we need to live in such a way that we're not driving away our neighbors, our culture, those who are already far from God, that we're not driving them even farther away. But that we're allowing God to work in us to draw them to God, because they see the grace and the mercy that's working in us. You see, God says that we should be a certain kind of people. He says that we should seek out the welfare of the city where he has called us. And when he talks about welfare there, it's not what we typically know as, you know, food stamps, as government assistance. The word that is translated here as welfare is a word that we're familiar with. It's the Hebrew word shalom. It's that idea where everything is right. Everything is right with God and us. Everything is right between us and our fellow man. Where everything is just as it should be. Right relationships. There's not all this fighting going on. There aren't sides being chosen. It's an interesting thought. We are called to go out and to be seeds of welfare, to be ambassadors of shalom, to be purveyors of blessing in our city. Are we doing that? As believers, are we doing that? Are we praying for our cities? Are we praying for our leaders? Not just praying that they will get out of office soon, but praying for something good to happen in them. For the right kinds of relationships to be built. For the right kinds of choices to be made. Are we actually going and spreading shalom? Are we spreading blessings in our neighborhoods or our schools or the city where we live. We're called to go, and we're called to be like that. We're not always called to see those results, though. You know, when we go, we have to go knowing that we may not see that. When we pray for the city, and when I say pray for the city, I'm really talking about anybody, anything that is opposed to us. Are we praying for them? We may not see the solution come about. We may not see the solution that we have envisioned. Or it may just be that we don't see that solution in our lifetime. We may be setting the stage for our kids or for our grandkids, but are we willing to do that? Regardless of whether we see the change or not, outside of us, we know that when we pray those kinds of prayers, a change is going to happen in us. And we begin to see that God is giving us hearts of love and hearts of peace instead of hearts of war. So we know that God has sent us. Wherever we go, we are sent. We also can be confident of this, that wherever we go, we are shaped by the gospel. And we should be shaped by the gospel. A couple of other verses. God says this: "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, when we go empowered and covered by the gospel. Pardon me. The people of Israel, the scattered exiles, they were to go and bear witness. They were going with the testimony to the nations of the grace of God, of the mercy of God. And we go out into our city and we show and we live out the mercy and the grace of God because we have received them. And the people that are out there in our city, the people that need to see that, they are not going to see that if we just stay together and we kind of huddle all together. What we need to see is that the exile was not to be the end of God's people. That was never God's plan. It was just the beginning of a new phase, a new way of relating to God. And none of the stuff that was happening, none of the stuff that we even see happening around us today is a surprise to God. God has plans. God has plans. He has plans for our welfare. He has plans for the shalom of the world. He has plans for prosperity and peace. And when we hear this and we remember this, it fills us with hope. See, God's plan isn't punishment, but it's restoration. Not because of our goodness, but entirely at God's initiative and out of His love. A couple of years ago, I read a book called, just simply entitled, Gospel. And in that book, there's a gospel prayer that the author puts out, and it's not, you know, praying to receive Christ or anything, but it's just a reminder in 4 points of the gospel. And one of those points, the very first point is this, and we need to remember this as we go, that in Christ, there is nothing that I can do to make God love me more. And there is also nothing that I have done that will make Him love me less. The same goes for the people that are out there. His desire is for them to experience that. His desire is for them to experience not punishment, but restoration, because God's end game is always restoration. God knows the situations where we find ourselves. He may not have directly caused all of those situations, but He knows about them, and He has every desire to redeem them. So how do we go looking at things? We go with the eyes of the gospel. We go with our eyes on God. And how we respond to the things that we see going on in our culture, in our surroundings, it gives a pretty strong indication of where it is that we're placing our hope. Are we placing our hope in our ability to change things, or are we placing our hope in God? Are we placing our hope in God's promises? You know, we're to go out into our world living in the hope that God will fulfill His promises. And when we understand that, it gives us help now. It gives us power now because we know that God has promised us those things. We live as if the promise that God made, that welfare, that shalom is going to happen, will happen. We live as if His promises are already reality because we have known and experienced enough about God to know that He fulfills His promises. We've seen enough of God to know that all of these things are as good as reality. And so when we go out in our world, we become beacons of hope and mercy and grace and love to a world, a very dark, dark world that needs to see and needs to know those things. They need to be transformed by the gospel. So we know that wherever we go, we are sent. We know that wherever we go, we are shaped by the gospel. But we also know that wherever we go, we are not alone. And we can be confident in this. Beginning in verse 12, Jeremiah writes this, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Folks, we can be confident that God is with us. That when God sent us out on mission, He didn't just abandon us and leave us to muddle through all on our own. We can be confident in the fact that God is always there. Always there. And usually when we feel that He's not, it's because we have left. It's because we have turned away. God tells us that when we turn to Him and we seek Him, we will find Him. We will find His power. We will find His power there on our side. God makes these statements in those few verses. He says, "I will." He said, "I will hear you. I will be found by you. I will restore you. I will gather you. I will bring you back." These are really, really strong statements of power coming from the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who is on our side. He says, "I will do this." God is firm in it. Nothing can keep Him from accomplishing these things. What we see in these verses, even more importantly than finding God's power on our side, we're confident that when we turn to Him, that we find His presence, that we find that God is there. We find the God who loves us is right there. All of these things are very, very relational. When we see this, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." See, God wants us to do that. God wants us to have a heart for Him. Just like He has a heart for us. He wants us to seek Him with all of our heart. And when we do that, God begins to work in us even more. And He grows our heart for the city or the nation, the people that he has sent us to. So today, and in the days to come, when the city that's around you seems to be caving in, when everything seems to be falling down around your ears, and you know the city may even seem like it's openly aggressive toward you, and your first impulse is just to make a break for it, remember that you're right where you are because you've been sent there for a purpose. And that God is with you. The purpose that you've been set is to live out and to constantly point to the mercy and the grace of our great God. Now today you may not be in the place where you know you are really being shaped by the gospel because you haven't experienced that yet. You haven't experienced the mercy, the grace. You kind of are living life without hope because you see none, you know none. Today, I would invite you to come talk to me after the service. I'd love to be able to explain to you how your sin isn't the end, how your life isn't just a dead end and there's nothing more, but that you can experience the mercy and the grace of God. The fact that God doesn't give us what we deserve, but that He gives us what we need. He doesn't treat us as our sins merit, but that He gives us everything. I'd love to be able to explain how you can tap into that. How you can go out from this place shaped by the gospel, living as a set person. But I imagine that most of us here are probably in the place where we've experienced that mercy and that grace on a regular basis. And I hope and I pray for you today that you will go from that place very aware of those things, that you will leave from this place knowing that you are sent to bear witness to the mercy and the grace of our great God. Let me pray with you. Father God, we come now. We come before you as people sometimes confused by what's going on around us. People who sometimes wonder where you are in our world because it seems like evil is winning. I pray that, Father, you'll help us to understand that we are to go and be the influence against that. That we are called to go and to be witnesses, to go and to be little pockets of shalom, little pockets of blessing and welfare in our world. To go and infect our neighborhoods and schools and workplaces and the city and the nation and the country where we live. We're to go and infect them with the virus of mercy and grace, to spread that epidemic, to have the kind of influence that would change a nation as you work in us and as you work through us. So, Father God, help us to keep this in mind each and every day as we go. That we go with your purpose. That we go with your power. And that we go with your presence. And we thank you for this, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.